Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today we'll meditate on the first epistle of St. John, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1, as follows. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. So far, the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the name which is above every name, the name at which every knee will one day bow, dear fellow redeemed. English surnames can reveal a lot about a person's background if you just know a little bit about them. There are four basic types. There are the patronymic surnames like Thompson or Williamson, son of Tom, son of William. There are the occupational surnames like Miller or Tanner that describe the job that one of your ancestors used to do. There are the descriptive surnames like Armstrong or Goodman that describe a particular trait about some ancestor in your background. And finally, of course, the geographic surnames that tell where your family way back in history came from. Names like York and Kent, Carlisle. For a genealogist, simply knowing what somebody's last name is can give you a pretty good start on getting a handle on what that person's origins are. What does your last name reveal? Some names reveal a lot. The meanings of some names are really lost in obscure history. But there's one name that belongs to you that is more revealing than any other, and it's a name you share with every true believer in Jesus Christ, child of God. In our text for today, the Apostle John describes with wonder how precious is that name that belongs to you. Perhaps your life has seemed a bit humdrum lately. Maybe you're missing the fire that the Christian faith used to provide in your life. Maybe you're kind of taking the name child of God a little bit for granted recently. Well, all of that's about to change, because John tells us in our text for today, in the words of our theme, child of God is the most revealing name of all. It's the most revealing name of all because it reveals how much our Father loves us. It reveals how little the world knows about us. It reveals how great a glory awaits us. And finally, it reveals how pure a path God sets for us. Bible scholars have often remarked how the Apostle Paul seems to dwell a lot on the doctrine of justification, how we are saved, while the Apostle John, in texts like our text for this morning, seems to dwell more on sanctification, on the purity of the Christian life. But these two are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they're always found together. Justifying faith is never without sanctification and good works, and the other way around is true as well. So we're not surprised when we find in our text today the Apostle John describing a very close relationship between the faith that justifies and saves us on the one hand and the purity of the Christian life that we are to live as believers on the other. In fact, both these truths are encapsulated in that beautiful name that our Heavenly Father has given to each of us believers, child of God. For among the many names of this world, child of God is certainly the most revealing of all. And the main thing it reveals is how much our Father loves us. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. In that word, behold, is an entire world of wonder and awe. As if John is saying, if you want to see something truly amazing, this is really something. This will take your breath away. Take a look at this. What a profound, almost unknowable love is revealed by this precious name that our Heavenly Father bestows on every Christian, the name child of God. Martin Luther said, to understand this verse correctly is to sink down in adoration before it. It is beyond all comprehension. What's so amazing about it? The world certainly doesn't think it's amazing. Not long ago, I heard a United States senator say in a television interview, we are all children of God, all people. Is that true? Not according to the Bible. In fact, according to Scripture, it'd be more accurate to say we are none of us children of God, at least not by nature, because ever since the fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, all human beings are born sinful and corrupt. By nature, they are children of Satan, not of God. And such were you and I, my friends, before the Lord brought us into the kingdom of our Savior Jesus, before he put saving faith in our hearts. In chapter 1 of his gospel, this same apostle John tells us who the real children of God are. But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. You were born again and became a new creature. Through the power of the Holy Spirit working in your heart, you were led to a new life. And given a new name to go with that life, the name Child of God. When exactly did that happen, by the way? When did God bestow on you this wonderful new rebirth and new life and this wonderful name? Well, the word bestow in the Greek in this text is written in the perfect tense, which means you can picture it as a dot with an arrow attached to it. It describes an event that took place in your past life that's completed, but that has ongoing results and ongoing consequences in your life till now and even beyond now. And that is something that happened at a specific time in your past. That's your baptism. Paul says to the believers, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." On the day of your baptism, if not before, you became a child of God. You put on the righteousness of Christ. You joined the company of the saints, those believers of all ages who till now have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second reason why child of God is the most revealing name of all is because it reveals really how little the world knows of us. John says, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Unbelievers just don't get Christians. Have you ever noticed that? No one who isn't a Christian himself can truly understand what it means to be a Christian. On the outside, we look just the same as anybody else. So they assume that there's no essential difference between them and us, other than our silly superstition that we seem to cling to so tightly, they think we're just the same. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Scripture says we're not like them at all. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yes, for now, we look the same on the outside, that's true. John says it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But inside, we're vastly different. We're the children of God. We've been reborn by faith in Christ. That's a radical change. In calling us his children, God has separated us out of the sinful world and separated us into that sphere of Christ and faith in Christ. The world doesn't understand Jesus, and it's not going to understand his followers, you and me either. Jesus told his disciples, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We shouldn't really expect the world to love us or to understand us because we're not of the world. We're God's children. We're these new creatures. We're as different from those people as if we had been born into another world, which, in a sense, we have been. One thing's for sure. We are definitely destined for another world. Child of God is the most revealing name of all. Thirdly, because it reveals the glory that awaits each of us Christians. John says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In 1987, the largest diamond in the history of the world was discovered in the premier diamond mine in Pretoria, South Africa. The Golden Jubilee diamond weighs 545 carats, and it's been independently valued at over $12 million. What's interesting is that its great value was not immediately recognized when they dug it up. Before it was cut and polished, it simply looked like a big brown rock, rather dull and ordinary. In fact, it didn't get its name, Golden Jubilee, until after it was cut. Before that, it was simply referred to as unknown brown. My Christian friends, to the world, you may look like unknown brown. They may even call you unknown brown, but that's not what you are. For God has given you a name far better even than Golden Jubilee. He's given you the name, Child of God. John says, "It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a great future glory is hidden inside our drab human flesh. One writer put it this way, "Not yet has God made a public display of the glory that belongs to his children, the inheritance incorruptible, unstained, unfading, reserved for us in heaven. Not yet do we wear the white robes, and not yet does the crown of glory sparkle on our brow. These jewels are invisible to the physical eyes." But you know, of course, that the day is coming when those jewels will be revealed, when everyone will see the exalted status of the child of God. What kind of glory will the children of God have in heaven? We don't know everything about heaven, of course. But John reveals to us hints about what that glory will be like. He says, "We shall be like him, like Jesus. We'll have a glorified body, like Jesus' body. We will be sinless and holy then, as Jesus has always been. And perhaps best of all," John says, "we shall see him as he is." We've all seen artist depictions of what Jesus may have looked like, but we know that that's all speculation. One day, though, that speculation will end. One day, we will see Jesus as he truly is, face to face. We'll finally see what he looks like, yes, but more than that, we'll know him and understand him just as well as he has always known and understood each of us. For Paul says, "Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." Child of God is the most revealing name of all. Finally, because it reveals how pure a path God sets for us. In verse 3, John says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." There's an unbreakable bond between the faith that the Holy Spirit has put in your heart and purity of living. Christians are called to purity. And really, it's even more than that. Scripture tells us that Christians are created to live a pure life. It's part of our very nature as children of God. One writer illustrated it, if albeit rather crudely, this way. He said, "You can educate a pig to stay out of the mud and eat differently. But on a hot day with fellow pigs, he will resort to his normal nature and dive happily into the mud. If you could give him a new nature, say the nature of a cat, then when the test of a hot day and welcome mud arrived, he would not be happy in the mud hole, even if his friends urged him to join them again. For now he has a new nature, new desires. He does not think he is better than them. He just does not enjoy those things anymore." Likewise, our Lord has given us a new nature and a new name to go along with that, the name Child of God. We can't any longer wallow in the mud of the filth and corruption of this sinful world in which we live. We're not of that world. We're of Christ. Our Lord has laid a path of purity before us and has bid us walk in that path. Yes, we do still have our sinful flesh adhering to us. And yes, we do still at times find the mud and impurity of this world sticking even to us. But we daily bring those sins to Jesus and seek cleansing in his blood. And as often as we come, he's promised to pardon us and give us his Holy Spirit so that we can overcome the world, so that we can continue to purify ourselves and to walk the path of purity that leads to eternal life. Paul says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Years ago, our family lived near the Rosebud and Pine Ridge Indian reservations in southern South Dakota. There was much about Native American culture I didn't understand and still don't understand. But I do remember being impressed by the beautiful and expressive Lakota names. Names like Good Crow and Iron Cloud, Her Many Horses and White Lance. There was a girl on the local basketball team whose last name was Whirlwind Soldier. How expressive, how revealing those names were. But the name your Heavenly Father has given to you is even more beautiful and expressive than that. For he calls you a child of God. And on this day, we express our joy and hope in God for that wonderful name he's given us. For it reveals how much our Father loves us, how little the world knows of us, how great a glory lays before us, and how pure a path God sets for us. May God grant each of us the grace to live up to the high calling of this precious name, Child of God. Amen.